Last week when we were here, we had some technical difficulties. I couldn't get none of the slides, so I'll breeze over some of them. Maybe two or three of them, and then we'll go right into what we talked about. We're going to continue talking times and seasons, our Creator's calendar. We've been looking at that. I think it's so important just to kind of give an idea what we. It helps you throughout the scripture when you're reading. And there's a couple of things I'd like to get on. So tonight we're going to move fairly quick with it. But I wanted to just give you this. Where we left off was the first darkness. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then light. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, I want to make sure everybody's clear. This is not the fourth day. He created the lights on the fourth day. This is not that. Remember when I talked a little bit, and I'll go over some of the stuff I talked about on Passover night. I'll cover some of that because this is, listen, it's important to understand that when you're studying the scripture. And then when you're doing a Bible study, you want to know that. So when in the beginning, God creates the heaven and the earth. And he talks about darkness and light. That's not the fourth day light. Okay? There's a distinction there. And I think what happens a lot of time, people don't realize there is a distinction to kind of cram everything together. And that's very difficult to understand what other scripture says, especially the prophetic scriptures, when it talks about those things. How many has ever heard the term heaven and earth? In scripture. And it's exactly that way all the time. Heaven and earth. That is a direct link to what we're talking about. I call heaven and earth against. So when he says that, he is talking about time and season. He's talking about things that are set in a pattern and how God wants us to understand those scriptures. So if a scripture starts out heaven and earth, that is something that you're automatically, from now on, you'll say, okay, this has something to do with a very specific time, a season, and so forth. So that's important. So keep that in mind. I may cover some of that later on as we're going through this. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23, I looked on the earth, and behold, it was without form and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. Okay? Now, this is the prophet making reference to that he's writing down. Now look, he didn't come up with that. Remember, this scripture is by the inspiration of God, so he's writing down as he's being told to write these things. So keep that in mind. First, there's no light or darkness, and then there's light. The sun creates night and day in that order. We can determine that simply examining the first few sentences of the Bible, darkness first, then light. Now, again, I took it a step further on Tuesday, right? How many understood the little papers I held up? Everybody couldn't see it. I know that was kind of a last minute way for me to do it, but that was the only way I could do it because it took me some time. How many's ever done PowerPoints and slideshows and all that? Anybody familiar with that? Does it take time or what? It does. Just doing that, not to mention studying and all that stuff you have to put together. Well, I wanted to do it right, and I couldn't figure it out. And I was frustrated that I couldn't figure it out, so I made sure to take some time from Tuesday to go and figure it out so I could show it to you tonight so you'll see it. The spiritual teaches the physical, and the physical teaches the spiritual. Remember that. The spiritual teaches the physical, and the physical teaches the spiritual. When we were born as creatures of light, we were first creatures of darkness and then came into the light of the Word of God. Now, how was that possible? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we got that nature from where? How did we get that? Through Adam. Because of one man, sin entered the world. Now, that was not what we talked about on Tuesday. He wasn't the one that put that Adam could not create sin. Does that make sense? He didn't create it. He accepted it. He accepted something that was there, meaning his way, his will, my way versus God's way. So he accepted it. But because he accepted it, it was passed on to every generation after that. And that's great. Some people say, man, that's a bad thing. Well, that's, we have the Savior, right? Thank God we have the Savior who comes and gets us out of that. Because if by one man that entered, also by one man came that deliverance, right? So we have that example, and that's what's important, especially what we focus on. So this is what I want to show you. And then I'll go through this. I'm going to try to go through as quickly as possible. We'll see how far we can get. Isaiah 45, verse 7. Isaiah 45, it's a key verse. I want you to see this. I form the light. This is Yahweh. This is Yahweh. I form the light and create darkness. Does anybody see that? Who forms the light? Yahweh. Who creates darkness? I make peace, he said, and I create evil. Uh-oh. So I said, I asked you something on Tuesday. Well, where did the evil come from? And I submitted to you, God created evil. God creates darkness. How does God create darkness? It seems like that's an oxymoron, right? How could God create darkness? Because wherever he is, there is. How does he create darkness? How many remember what I gave you the answer on Tuesday? Who can tell me? It's where God. That's exactly right. Where God chooses not to be. Can he do that? Of course he can. He's God. He's God. So wherever he's not, that's going to be darkness. But he had to create that spot. And that's important. So remember this. I, the Lord, do all these things. I don't know how much clearer it gets in that verse, right? So this right here represents God. Okay? I gave you this. I was trying to show it best I could, but, you know, I'm standing here and there was folks sitting in different places. The ones in the back, surely you couldn't see it as quick, as good as the others. But this represents God. This is when it all starts. Is there any darkness? Not at all. And then God decides to create this darkness, this spot. He decides that. So in this one particular spot, it's a place where God chooses not to be. Now, I'm going to show you how I tie all this in with time and the Creator's calendar, because this is critical. The next thing we see is then God starts showing. Remember, everything's a pattern. So we have just God. There's nothing else. And then he starts creating, and he creates this spot where he chooses not to be, because he knows that wherever he is, there's light. And it's going to be right. So then God inserts himself into this darkness. Now he makes this, and again, we showed you everything's patterns. It's no different than the womb when a woman's pregnant. And then I'll read with that picture up there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Okay? Now, when that depth there is not the seas, keep that in mind. That's not oceans. It's not what he's talking about there. Everything out in outer space, in the universe, is made up of water molecules. It's water. It's considered the deep. It's the vast, the depth of the universe. And it's darkness. Now, he's going to show us where earth and darkness are going to be closely related. So we can tell where that's at, because he's telling us this is the scene. Now, there's a lot of stuff going on in the universe, but right now, when we're reading the scripture, where's he zooming us into? A particular spot, right? So now we're within our Milky Way and our solar system in a place called Earth. How many following that so far? Now, remember this. We still got some stuff that's going to go on pertaining to Earth. But right now, And these few lines that we have, we know that we have the earth, we have darkness, and we have the Spirit of God moving on the face of the waters, right? We have him moving. That's this right here. He inserts into that spot, just like the womb. It's there. In that womb, around that baby, is water. And the umbilical cord is that connection, where that life source. Now, we're about to, and he's going to show us. He starts out, this is how God amazing he is. It starts out all white, then he creates this spot. Who creates evil? Remember that. Who created darkness? I'm just giving you the scriptures, what it said. But here's the thing. It's very difficult to understand when you're reading or studying the Bible if you don't understand all these terms. It's very important to understand this. So now that we have this insertion, he's about to do something with darkness that absolutely blow our mind, right? And so what he does, he expands himself in that darkness. Now we got something that's dark still, but it's an outer dark. Keep that in mind. So he inserts himself, and now we have this outer darkness. No different. We all started there. We all started in darkness, and light come in, and now that's what we consider being born again. Same thing happens. So all of those things are patterns. We see them throughout the scripture. So I want you to keep this in mind. I just put that in there because I wasn't able to show you on a big screen so you could see what I'm talking about. But this is what we're dealing with when we're talking about Satan. Now, I gave you that example. When Hasadon, which we people call the devil, he decided, now there's a choice, right? How many see that there's a choice now? There's a choice here. If it's all, well, there's no choice if it's just God. But then there's darkness. So now there's a choice. How many trees in the garden? Two. One tree in the middle represents what? Life, the tree of life. Now that's not only life, but light and life. Light and life. Can you have that life more abundant without the light? No. And so remember that. Now we have the outer, which is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And keep that in mind. So what does Hasadon say? The devil. He says, I'm going to step out of this sphere over here in this realm. What does that mean? He says, I'm going to do it my way. God had a way. You stay within this realm, or you can do it your way. Here's the choice. So how many remember the scripture? He said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And he says, choose life, right? So all of that makes sense when you read those scriptures. Because you look at it, you go, okay. So that's how the devil was able to decide what he decided. He wasn't just cruising along and all of a sudden he got this, I'm going to be disobedient to God germ got on him. That's not how it happened. I want to tell you that he was created perfect. But everything that God created, he gave them a choice. They could choose. The angelic host could choose. You can stay in this realm or you can live in this outer realm. It's up to you. For you to stay in this realm, you got to do it my way. So here we see also the threshold covenant, right? We see the threshold covenant. And so we got to decide. We're going to step in and remain there and do things God's way, or we can step out and do things our way. You're doing them either those. There's two options. It's either your way or God's way. And so if you step over the threshold, you're in agreement that you're going to do things his way. You're going to follow those rules. So we see it all throughout Scripture. So if you're talking about going back to the very beginning, this is what we just did. Now, what we're trying to establish is how do we figure out the first month and the first day of the first month? Because if we don't get that figured out in Scripture, then we won't know what calendar we have, right? And so, again, let me just tell you this. This is an ongoing study, and we may have to at any time come back and adjust anything that we're talking about as we continue to study. So I just want you to keep that in mind. But best we can look at and see in Scripture now, after some digging, is where we are with this. That's why in the beginning it says in Genesis that at first there was darkness, or by Isaiah, that at first there was no light. Then our Creator spoke, and the Word went forth. How many of you know His Word goes forth? How many of you know there was a saying that's still used today, you are your Word. And now think about that about God. If He speaks, His Word goes forth and it's accomplished. Remember, He said, let there be light, and there was light. So that wasn't difficult for God to, it starts out with light, is God. So we're taking it a step further than actually most people even comprehend. Now, when I say first darkness, I'm saying in that, after I got to that slide where we just have the darkness there. But who's all around the darkness is the light. And so keep that in mind. So I don't want you to be confused about that part there. Then our Creator spoke, the Word went forth, that is light. Remember what David, I think it's Psalms 119, is it? Thereabouts, verse 105 or so. So you can look that up. I may be off one verse, but it's pretty close. Thy word is what? A lamp to my feet, a light to my path. He tapped into that. He understood that. I think it's somewhere around there. Likewise, was it right? 119, 105. Likewise, in the beginning, there was night number one, then day number one. Then night number two, then day number two, and so on and so forth. How many of you remember reading that? But we'll look at it in just a moment. Maybe we can cover some of that. When we become believers in the Word, the Word goes forth in us, and we are reborn from darkness into light. So every one of us experience this. We experience being born from darkness into light by being born again. Now, some would say, well, I didn't choose. I didn't choose to be born in darkness. That could very well be true. You didn't choose it from a baby, but it didn't take you long. Right? All of us. Because a nature was sown to us from the one man, Adam. Now, when Adam went and his wife was there, they didn't have darkness in them. They were living in the light. They were communing with Yahweh on a daily basis. But they all had to be processed the same way. They had to decide. So they had to be shown or told from one who was already there, Hasadan, right? The devil had to explain to them, well, you can come with me. And you can be like, I'm like a god. You know, I rule in my domain. Where is it? Well, it's way over here in the outer darkness. Or you can remain in the light. Right? You ever wondered, well, what the world they were thinking about? For somehow or another, he appealed to them. I think the appealing thing was he said, you won't die. You'll be as God, knowing good and evil. See, God's holding out on you. He's really holding out on you. Have you ever been there? No. You see, He's holding out on you. I'm telling you, this thing is wonderful. It's so wonderful. You're going to be your own boss, and you get to do things your way. You get to call the shots. Starts to get appealing. And so they buy into it, and God says, what have you done? What have you done? And so what he had to do, he put them out. So there's a separation. All those things are important. God never does anything. I don't care what it is that you ever seen. How many of you know God, there's When he reacts, he don't react based because of the situation that causes him to react. His reaction was already set before that situation come. He was going to do what he did. How many has ever reacted solely upon the situation creating the reaction? That's not how God operates. They made me mad. See, you reacted to something somebody did. But God never reacts that way. When he does something, it was already set on what was going to happen before that event ever took place, because he's God. He knows the end from the beginning from the end. There's no surprise. You can't shock God. You're not going to go do something and God's going to go, oh, it's not going to happen. And so I'll keep that in mind. When it's all just God, it's already figured out. So he everything he did was for the sole purpose to get us back in that spot with him. Everything he did. You say, well, if he wouldn't have created evil, then we wouldn't go through nothing. Listen, to try to comprehend in our mind, if God wouldn't have done something, is about as silly as anything you can ever say. You know what makes us try to reason something about what God did or didn't do? Because we don't like the scenery. We want it to change. Well, let me tell you something. If we learn to be with God, there's something about it that you won't be affected in that way anymore. Because you just want to be doing things His way. And so keep that in mind as we go through this. Now, the next thing. The moon, I gave some of these. This is some review, not all of it, but a couple of them I threw back in here from the last Thursday. The moon has an observable cycle ranging from 29 days, 6 hours, to 29 days, 20 hours, averaging 29 days, 12 hours. The moon starts in darkness, grows into full light, becomes full light, grows to darkness, and then becomes darkness again, and to start the cycle all over again, just like the sun has a cycle. Can we have a month without days? Remember, we asked this last time. Can we have a month without days? Can we have a year without days and months? The whole understanding found in Genesis 1 on how the moon is greater than the stars and that the sun is greater than the moon is extremely, extremely important. Unless we want to assume our Creator speaks idle, random, and trivial words. Who wants to go with that? If not, then we have to pay close attention to what He says. We have four observations that are each 3 months apart. Equal day and night, number one. Equal day and night, number two. A moment of the most possible daylight. A moment of the most possible daylight. How can we figure that moment out? Because it's going to be greater than the day before, less than the day after. Number three, equal day and night again. Number four, and then a moment of least possible daylight. So we got equal day and night, first thing. Moment of the most possible daylight. Equal day and night again. And then the moment of the least possible daylight. And so those are things that are continuous, and that's something that we can gauge. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heaven to separate the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons, which is Moedim, for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and it was so. If I continue reading, you'll find out by verse 19, and the evening and the morning were what day? Fourth day. All right? Now, that's the fourth day. Evening and morning were the fourth day when this happened. So we're talking about the sun, the moon, and the stars are created on the fourth day. What light is he talking about at the beginning when he says, let there be light? Remember that? I submit to you, it's God just setting everything in order for redemption. How many thank God that he's our Redeemer? Amen? He's got it all. He had it all planned out from the beginning. Listen, if you think God is trying to fix Adam's mistake, you and I have lost our mind. He's not trying to fix Adam's mistake. That's why Jesus came. He put that thing in motion from the very beginning, before he made man in his own image and likeness, before there was ever a Garden of Eden, before there was ever two trees in the garden. He put the thing in motion. He said, I'm God. I'm all light. There's dark. I decide I don't want to be right there. There's a dark spot. Then he says, well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and insert myself in that dark spot. Watch this. And then he flexes and he creates an outer darkness. He said, and this is the spot right here. And then that's bringing us from all this expanse in the universe. We see scriptures bringing us to a solar system, an area where we have the earth. And then he's going to start putting things in place within that that galaxy. How many understand that? So we have that happen. He's telling us that in the first few verses of the Bible. And he's putting things in order. And this is important because this helps us with the calendar. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the sun, the lesser light to rule the night, the moon, and the stars. There are four signs that occur every year. Four signs occur every year. They must be useful for days and years in some capacity. That's important. They must be useful, these signs. Again, even more observation shows us that each quarterly marker details the moment of a start of a new season. So I gave you those markers. How many of you remember those markers that I gave you? So we gave you, let me go over them just again in a different way. Number one, there is an equal day and night that starts what? Spring. It's an equal day and night. So the daytime and the nighttime is exactly equal. That lets us know it's spring. The day of most daylight stars. The day of most daylight stars starts summer. Another day of equal day and night starts fall. And lastly, a day with the least amount of daylight stars starts winter. So we have that in place. Now, I don't want you to get confused when I've done the teaching and I come to the word seasons. That is not what we're talking about here. What I'm talking about seasons, but those seasons are dealing with the sun, the moon, and the stars. When it says it's four seasons, that word is moedim, that's appointed times. Now, that's important, right? How many know the moedim's important? Because we have the feast days, which we celebrate in Passover, and our unleavened bread is this week, so we understand that those are important. But how do we know to keep those if we don't know what the calendar is? You don't know. And so this is where, let me tell you why we're doing this study anyway. So I don't just, look, if you think I'm going to go on the internet and I'm going to find three different dates and I'm just going to pick one. It's not going to happen. I studied this, what you have in here, for 2 years, trying to go over this to see if I could get what, you know, I don't know. This was brand new to me. You know, as far as I was the same locked in with everybody else, there's a calendar. There basically was two calendar ideas to me in my whole life. The Gregorian calendar, which we use, and the Jewish calendar, right? But they're all over the place. They're all over the place with their theology, everything. I mean, most of them don't even believe the Messiah come. You understand what I'm saying? So when you look at that, you go, okay. I mean, that's all over the place. So what do? You go and study the Word. You grab the Bible and you say, okay, it's got to be in here. There's no way God's going to leave us without us understanding this. So it takes time. And you read, there's other people that's come before me, way before me, who I believe were dedicated, consecrated to the truth of the Word of God, and they left this literature. It just takes time. It takes time to find it, to research it, check it out. And you read, and you match it to the Scripture. You eat the hay, and you spit out the briars. That takes time. There's no way you could come and do this study and this teaching and do it just in a week's time. It takes a lot of time to go over this so you can come to some understanding on what we should be doing as close as possible. Because I don't think anybody's going to have it to perfection. I believe that that's why we have to understand that it's not us against them. We need each other. And we need to have people who can speak into our lives and we can speak into their lives. And we look at the Word of God to make sure we stay within the parameters. And that's what it takes. And so if you're wondering about some of this stuff, that's my take on it from looking at it extensively. If we were to read the story of creation in which everything came out of nothing, in which life came out of the absence of life, which marker would make most sense to pick? What fits the pattern? Remember that? We talked about the pattern. We got this quilt going, and we got all these squares. It's a perfect pattern. And all of a sudden, if this pink square pops up, we have to deal with that. We have to go back. Stop right there and go back and look at the Scripture. We have to deal with it. What season fits the pattern seen in the first 16 verses of Genesis? What fits the pattern? What season fits the pattern for when we start with light, then we have this dark spot? So I want you got to get, because I know that takes you back, right? But I'm just telling you that's what we have, because it says he created darkness and he created evil. So that's that. That's it's. How many know evil? God is I don't know if the opposite is even a strong enough word to use when I'm trying to explain evil in God. I mean, it's beyond that. So, but there it is. We have a choice to make. But then he inserts himself into that darkness. What part of the year you think would fit best with that? Spring, right? Because we just came out of what? If we're going into spring, we just come out of what? We just came out of winter, right? What happens in winter? Stuff dies, it goes dormant, and it needs something to bring life back to it. That's the dark spot. And spring comes, that's the insertion. Boom. And he expands himself, and now we have spring again. That's important. Very important. Now, again, I'm just going along with this. There's so much room to study, and I encourage you to do so. I just asked the question. So looking at what we've seen, we look at the story of creation in which everything came out of nothing, in which life came out of the absence of life. Which marker would make most sense? Because do we need to use our mind? Do we need to use our mind? When you study Scripture, you go to Scripture, and then you have to use your mind. You have to. Because he didn't write the Scripture where there's no logic to it. There's logic to the Scripture. He wrote it, and we can deduce and deduct. We can look at things, and there are some things that are just obvious. And so understanding that, what he did, we use our mind, you're picking something. What fits the pattern? What season fits the pattern seen in the first 16 verses of Genesis? Spring, summer, fall, or winter? Spring, right? Who would agree with that? Which one? Do you think any other ones could fit that creation story that we're looking at? If we don't know what they do, we know what's happening. What's happening in the summer? In the summertime, think spring just came, everything came, and then what happens in the summertime? from that new birthing and the new budding and the flowers and all stuff, you know, stuff's blooming. It's coming into life again. It starts blooming. It starts to mature. And then we have the fall. So right before everything starts preparing itself to go back into that dormant stage, there's stuff that happens. There's, how many know there's crops that are picked in various, you're picking all of this. It's all been growing that whole time, and you start picking it again, and then all of a sudden, you're going into winter. Now, don't gauge that from where you live, because that, right? Because some people say, well, we don't even have a winter. But it don't matter if you have one. There's got one for real, based on, so the calendar is locked in the way God has put it. So life springs forth from the absence of life every spring season. So it's absent, then it springs forth. And that's what God did. Going forward from this moment in the teaching, we will refer to this calendar as heaven and earth calendar. So from this point on, because there's a lot of verses that deal with heaven and earth. So that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the expanse, the heaven, and the earth. Those are the things that were introduced to us at the beginning. And we're just look. All we're taking is the scripture at the beginning. Now, we hadn't even went into the depth of this Bible yet. But we're going to go into that. But listen, from here on out, let's think about the calendar and call it the heaven and earth calendar. All right? And I'll give you one verse or so, but we'll go deeper into that later. The heavens being the sun, the moon, the stars, that's where they are, in that order. And then the earth being the least of them all, because the earth is under the sun, the moon, and the stars. So keep that in mind. And that's going to be important. We'll use that as we go through the study. So heaven and earth. Heaven and earth are mentioned often in Scripture and always in that order. Heaven is greater than earth. The physical teaches the spiritual and vice versa. Heaven and earth are also the witnesses that stand for the law of God. Remember that. Heaven and earth are also the witnesses that stand for the law of God, or stand for Torah. So remember that. And I'll give you, I think I have, I'm not sure if I put one verse or two. I might have just put one. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. You'll see that. He says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. Who's the witness? I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. How many see that? Now, how many see that verse now, you can get a fuller understanding of that verse? Because most of the time, our focus point in that verse is what I quoted earlier. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, and he says, choose life. But the beginning of that verse, now you get the full picture of this verse, because he says, who's the witness? What does he mean there? What is he talking? When I say heaven and earth, and that's what we're calling the calendar now, are we dealing with times and seasons, days and years? He said those are the things that's going to be the witness to you. Is this making sense to anybody? Think about that. If he's going to use his calendar to be the witness against us, so he's saying to us, I have days that have been appointed. So be warned. I'm setting before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, because these appointed times will not stop. They won't be hindered. They will remain. It's going to happen on that set time. And you'll know, that time is not something that we can't understand. We're not going to know the exact day, but we can know the season that we should put our posture right. How many understand that? How many know this season right now, our posture should be where we are making, we're preparing ourselves, and we're removing the leaven out. How many know? How many? Who wants to give me the answer on what leaven is? What is it? Pride. Remember that. Remember that. We got that word from the suor. You take the leaven, the lump of dough, after it was blowed up, and you put it on the side. And you take that same lump and put it into the next batch. And what happens to the whole batch? It will leaven the whole because it's a living organism. Remember, pride, as we talked about on Tuesday, is something that's living. It's not something that's just laying there dormant. So I hadn't had that feeling in a while. It's going to come out. But we could get rid of that. So this week, we should be thinking in those terms. I want to do better. And I want to have all that stuff follow. I want to know that I don't want sin to reign in my mortal body. I don't want it to reign. And we can have authority over that by removing the leaven. So we have a time period that we should set a posture. Well, we're doing that actively during this week. And that's so amazing that we've been given that. But look back in our life and you see that there have been many, many a years in our life that we didn't even think about that. We came across it, but we were getting ready for something else. And we got caught up in the whole cycle. Can you see that when he says, I call heaven and earth against you? He's saying, listen. And let me tell you, if it wouldn't have been for the grace of God for us to come to some realization, let me tell you what changed my life. The prophetic word from God. That's the only thing brought change to me. If it wouldn't have been for the prophetic word before Katrina hit, and the people and the encounters, do you know God had already preset every encounter that we ever had in our lives? And I asked myself, have I met the people I was supposed to meet? Am I in the relationships I'm supposed to be in? Am I doing all those things? I want to submit to you. I don't know how many relationships I missed, how many appointments I missed, because I was doing something else that didn't match God's timing. I was out of sync with God. Now, I was saved. I know I was saved. But I missed appointments. I missed things that God wanted to do in my life. I missed that. Are you okay with just missing things, appointments from God? How many of you know there's important appointments that we can't afford to miss? There's relationships we can't afford not to be in. There's people that we need to encounter. There's things that we need to be doing. There's places we need to be going that we can't afford not to go there. Now, I can tell you this. I've been in relationships I shouldn't have been in. I've been in places I shouldn't have been. I can tell you that. That's a fact. Because I wasn't in the timing of God. But this sets your posture right, sets your time, and it syncs you up with God. How many know we got to sync up? Yes. How many's ever had a smartphone and they do updates and stuff like that? And if you ever get some problems on your computer and you call Microsoft or whatever, you know one of the first things they ask you, you update it lately? Isn't that true? Yeah. They want to know. Yes. Because most of your problems get fixed if you get your updates right. You got what is an update? You're syncing up with what they're doing as they constantly grow in technology. You're syncing up. Even an older machine can sync up and have some help there. How many understand that? Do you know we have to sync up with God? And how can you do that if we're off the timing? He says we should be in a week of unleavened bread, and we're looking up. We're trying to find Easter eggs. Do you understand my point? That's absolutely crazy. We're eating chocolate bunny rabbits instead of having unleavened bread. Listen, and I know when I say that, it still may seem offensive to people, and maybe people don't get it. But listen, I'm not here to try to have everybody get it. I'm telling you, that's what God shared with me, and it all happened based on a prophecy. He said, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. And that's what happened. I started looking into the glory of God and the things of God, and change began to happen. And it wasn't overnight. It took some time. And let me tell you, I thank God for every relationship, every encounter. That's when things started changing for me, when I started doing that, and then Katrina hit, and I started meeting people. You know what I'm saying? Listen, if I wouldn't have did that, I can assure you, I wouldn't have met the people that I've met. I wouldn't have met Brother Brian. I would hate to know that I lived on this planet and I'd have had a chance to meet Brother Brian. I wouldn't have met the Amish. You understand what I'm saying? That's important.
Yes.
But that would have never happened. God warned me. He warned me 4 years. He said, look into my glory. You'll be instantly changed. I was so dead silent. But look how long it takes. Let me tell you, it don't come off easy. It don't come off easy. When you've done something all your life, and it's contrary to what you believe, what you strongly believe in. And we can get, how many know we can get headstrong on some things? But that's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit to come. It strips away all the nonsense. Because I can tell you, when I look at it now, how many would agree with me that some of that stuff was absolute nonsense? It was bondage, and it was bondage, and we thought it was fun. We thought it was fun, and it was bondage. That's how good it feels. You know, bondage can feel good to a lot of people. After you've been there, listen, they had so much bondage on them in Egypt. After he delivered them, they get in the wilderness and said, would to God we'd be back in Egypt. We had garlic, we had onions, we had fish, we had all the great stuff. Because they wanted that lifestyle. And he took them through that journey to strip all that off of them. And if he can't get it off of you, then what happens next is a dying process. And you don't want to get in that spot. Because let me tell you, what one generation will refuse to do, to speak up, God will raise another generation up who will speak what he wants them to speak. And that's what happens. You'll wander, you'll be traveling, and you'll get some things done, but you won't get nowhere. And people died off until he raised up a generation like Caleb and Joshua, who said, we're ready. Something, that stuff fell off of those guys. They got lined up. They got synced up with God, and things begin to change. And that's important. You can't follow a pagan system and be in sync with God. You can't do it. There's no possible way you can. You cannot, and it'll never be right. And the master, we can try to smooth talk it. We can paint it over. We can Christian veneer it. We can do whatever we want. You cannot be in sync with God and follow pagan systems. Can't be done. And so I don't by any way think that we have arrived. Amen. I think it's an ongoing process. And we constantly have to be aware that we need to work on our relationship with the Lord. But there's been encounters in my life since I said, you know what, God, I'm going to look into your glory. And it took time to strip away all those years. I had 20 years of doctrine, been just this doctrine had to strip away. It don't come off easy. And this takes a lot of work. But let me tell you, at the end of the day, he said, you'll begin to preach like a man from a different world. Sometimes I feel like I come off a different planet. I'm telling you, I do. And people just, I have a lot of conversations and a lot of contact with people who listen to our stuff. And they say, what are you talking about? And I talk to them. We have these conversations. And I was like, well, this is what it says. And I said, get back with me. Go back and look at it. I said, listen, it's an ongoing study. I haven't gotten back, not one person's got back with me. And all this time. We're not talking about weeks. We're talking about years now. Not one. Maybe they're still looking at it. I'm not sure. Hopefully they are. So based on Genesis, we can surmise, based on the pattern established in creation, the patterns found in the sun, the moon, and the stars, that the first day of the first month is calculated by doing the following. All right? Because what do we, if the Passover is on the first month, right? He said this is going to be the first month. And it's going to be on what day that they have to take the lamb? The 10th day. Don't you think we got to find out what's that first month and when's the first day? Don't you think?
Absolutely.
I think we need to. And people say, oh, you know, I have this comment. Well, God ain't, you know, God speaks in English. Okay. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he knows all languages. Okay. What's the point? And he ain't worrying about being so precise. Really? Everything I see about God, he's very precise. Everything. He's very picky. About what you do and don't do when it comes to inviting his presence in. How many see, am I the only one see this? I see that throughout the scripture. I think he's very picky. Because, see, we want this broad, comfortable, We can sway back and forth and still make it. Nobody wants to straight and narrow. And, you know, I like those parameters because I can't go off. I hit and I hit. But, you know, if you're doing this and you're doing that, that's could get me in trouble, right? So let's look at this. The calendar is intended to be simple and deductive. So let's look at it. I'm going to see if I can read through this and we'll go. I guess if I can't, I got five facts. We'll read through them if we can read through them all. The sun, moon, and stars, in that order of importance, dictate our unit of time of days, months, and years. How many seen that in the study so far? We've seen that in the study. So I'm going to give you the sun and the moon are the two great singular lights that are greater than the numerous stars. The sun is the greater of the great lights, and the moon is the lesser of the great lights. The stars are the least of them all. Thus, the order of stated importance from the greatest to the least are the sun as day, moon as months, stars as years. And these are very simple, and we didn't get into all of these. You could go online and verify a lot of this stuff, that we use the sun for our days. We use the moon for our months. We use the stars for our years. Stars' patterns are operating in years. The days are greater than the months or years because you cannot have months or years without days. The months are greater than years because you cannot have a year without being inclusive of days or months. The years or stars are at least or the least of these. This is why the sun and moon are the two great lights, and with the sun being the greater of the two great lights and the moon being the lesser of the two great lights, the stars are not considered to be great lights, but instead, as evidence, when looking up, there are many small lights and still depend on the sun and the moon to accurately determine the start of the year in the annual pattern of the stars. And so we see that. I think that's critical. That's what we've looked at. We can see that that's happened. And notice, there's no pink squares. I didn't have to change the order in which God said it in the scripture for me to get to that fact. So what he said, we kept it just like he said it. And we don't see him change that pattern. Now, here's the mistake people made. They said, well, he made the lights at the very beginning. That's not what he was talking about. I hope I was able to help you understand that we have all God. And then he's out in the universe. There's things have to be set in order. There's things that have to be set into motion. And that's what I think happened at the beginning. I think that's important to understand. Fact number two, to determine the day, all we have to do is ask ourselves is simply this. What does the sun do? What does the sun do? The pattern of the sun is evening and morning, which give us a day and a night, or a night and a day. Evening and morning, which gives us a night and a day. So keep that in mind. What does the sun do? We see that night comes first. Then day as evidence in the beginning in which there was darkness, night, while Yahweh hovered over the deep. And then day as light entered when he spoke the word. Because we have one pattern at the very beginning. Does he change that pattern how he's going to make the calendar start? No, he uses that same pattern. And he, see, never stops. The patterns keep going throughout scripture, including with the coming of Messiah in his first advent, second one will be the same, and also at the end of the millennial when everything's turned over. And what's going to happen at the very end? The great light. There'll be no need for the sun. The calendar will end. How many understand that? It's going to end. No sun, no moon, no star. Won't need it. Yahweh himself. Now, I don't know if that does anything for you, but I'm going to just tell you this. You remember my first slide that was in the solid white? That'll be us. I don't know if that helps you, but it sure helps me. Because we have all these questions. But what about this? And what? There'll be no what about after that. People say, well, what if they got some other angel that does like Hasadon? Won't happen. Won't happen. Because when he steps in, he will dispel it all. And then he has everything within that light. Just like you and I are one, we want to be one with them. It'll be just one with God. It's absolutely amazing. So that's what he starts out with, he ultimately gets. You think God's, you know, we talk about Yahweh, and we say, well, why would he do that? I just be careful on what questions you ask about what God does. Because he knew exactly what he knows exactly what he's doing, and we have to put our full trust in him, and don't let, because that's leaven. That's a leaven question. That's pride. You think what like you had a bad idea? Serious? I'm yielding to him. I'm not going to question God, putting God on the, and but there was some wonder. How many know Job wondered about God's decisions, but he got rid of that? Do you know he got rid of that? And what happened? Remember what I talked about? What happened to Judah? What happened to Judah after they got things right? I read that Tuesday night. What happened? What happened to Judah? What was going on? Once the leaven was moved out, what was going on? What was it? Yeah, stuff started coming. What was changed? Things started changing. Power of God started moving. And that's what God will do. He did it for Job. What happened after Job done what he did? Things changed. It just got doubled up. Everything was amazing. How many ready for that? So I don't know if God wants me to have that. That's pride from the back door. Just remember that. Some people have forward pride where it's boasting. But to say, I don't know if God, that's a pride from the back door. Same thing. So you got to remove the leaven. Get the leaven out. And so keep that in mind. We see the night come first, then the day as evidence of the beginning in which there was darkness, a night while Yahweh hovered over the deep, then the day as light entered when he spoke the word. Thus the first and second or third of the month, etc., begins at, when it begins? At night. And then enters into day. The pattern continues throughout the month and year. So we see that throughout Scripture. Do we see a change in that pattern? When he says for him to do something, what does he say? To do it in the evening. How many remember we talked about the twilight? At twilight. And we talked about that. But between the two evenings. How many know the Scripture talks about two evenings? There's a first and a second evening. And that has a lot to do with when the lamb is slain and all that. So it's always evening and morning, first day. Evening and morning, second day. Right? We do ours differently. What we do, we use, so we go an a.m., starts at midnight, 12:01, and we start a new day while we're sleeping. So evening and morning, that's how we, and so we do it, we say that's morning, and then evening coming to midnight, p.m., then that ends. It's a little different the way God has set it up. Fact number three, next we have the moon. To determine the month, all we have to ask is, what does the moon do? We see that the moon has a cycle of darkness growing into light and then back into darkness. The observant student of the word should quickly realize that such a pattern already exists in the pattern of the sun. The sun starts in darkness, night, grows into light, morning, enters into light in the day, enters back into darkness in the evening, and finally becomes darkness Again, if the pattern of the moon is the same as the sun, then simply deduction would have us conclude that we should use the very same pattern, not something new. Right? Shouldn't we use the same pattern? So what pattern is used other than this pattern here? Well, there's a different cycle that people use up on the moon. They'll use a different cycle where they have to add actual days that actually don't exist. Just because you add a day, that don't mean it exists. How many understand that? Listen, let me give you an example, and I'm not going to talk about too much as I'll give you an example. If we start evening and morning is the first day, Scripture says, then evening and morning, second day, third day, evening and morning, fourth day, fifth day, 6 days. What happens on the seventh day? See, evening in the morning and the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. And the evening in the morning was the seventh day. And he rested, right? So the next day, then we got evening in the morning again. Does it stop? Can we put pause, hit the pause button, and like days go, we don't record? Don't, not God. If he, and he set that motion. He said it in Genesis. That never stopped since the time he said it. So what's the next day? Evening in the morning, first day. Right? Evening in the morning, second day. If you use a different moon cycle, you have to add days in, and therefore people don't know what Sabbath day is. So they say, well, we're going to have the next 3 days will be Sabbaths because we're not sure. Is that possible with God's way? It's impossible with God's way. But if you're using a different moon cycle, it's very possible because you don't know what to do with them. They get all out of whack and confused, but not with God. First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh. First day, second day, how many see what that is? So it's a pattern. He doesn't change that. He doesn't change it for the sun. He doesn't change it for the moon. He don't change it for the stars. It's always the same. And we do have changes because we have different moon cycles that are being used. And the Jews use a moon cycle that's different from the one I'm talking about, but not all Jews. Not all Jews. They use a different moon cycle. Next time on part two, I'll talk about that. So it's the same as the sun, then simple deduction could have us conclude that we choose the same pattern, not something new. And so that's something that you'll see in this. Thus, like creation, the moon or the month starts in darkness. Are actually more accurately, the moon starts in lunar conjunction. So the first of the month is the first night or day that contains the conjunction. So remember that, the lunar conjunction. And that's going to be something later on in part three of this that you'll see where that really comes into play. How many know what that conjunction is, a lunar conjunction? Is anybody familiar with that term? So how many's ever seen the moon cycles at night, different times? You don't watch it because you have to stay out there the whole month, right? So, but you've seen it in different phases. How many notice we don't really recognize the moon when it's not there? Right? But how many know that's still part of the cycle? But then it shows its first sliver where the conjunction's over. You understand my point? It's over. So that's why when you say that term, there's not direct, you don't realize, because we don't really give it any thought. We don't see it. We equate it to it's cloudy, or we don't know where it's just going. But it's really not going. It's there. It's there, but it's starting a new cycle. And that's something that you got to keep in mind. So, but it does the cycle, so it grows and grows and grows and grows. Then it goes less and less and less and less and goes into darkness. And then it's born into what? So here's the question I got asked one time. They said, well, how do you know which one to use? Well, we're going to use the same one he does with the sun. So the sun's gone, and then it comes up. And then it's gone again. In that cycle. And we can't change the pattern. If we start using that with the sun, we got to use it with the moon also. So the beginning is when it first starts to appear. We know that it went in. That's the beginning. That's not the end of the month. Because remember, people say, well, how you know? Because, you know, it's got that cycle. That's how you know. And so because we're using God's pattern. What our goal is let's not change what he done. And let's see what works. Keep the sower, same thing, same cycle. Because if we count the sun, days, count the moon, months, we're going to get our year, and everything has to work, and it has to work without breaking the pattern. So the month starts the lunar conjunction, so for the first month of the first night or the day it contains the conjunction. That's the first night and the first day. Now that's difficult, right? So why did the Jews do what they did? They couldn't see it. They didn't know when it was going to happen. It had that time period that's dark. So they would start to make sure they could, because we got to count to 10 days, don't we? Is that important to take the lamb on the 10th day? Can you take it on the 11th day? How many of you see how important God is? So you have to have something to help you. They got really good at watching this. Take it on the 10th. So to take it on the 10th, you had to know that you started on the first day of the month. First day. Do you have like a sign? There's no sign. Because the first day is when it's dark. So unless you're staying up with it and you have somebody, they could have had somebody just stay in there. That was their job. All I know is day 11 wasn't good enough. 9 was too early. 11 was too late. 10 was important to God. Keep it 4 days. On the 14th. Why did he make them do that? Because he knew that Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, he was going to enter on the 10th, be taken. You understand the 14th day and all that for the resurrection, first fruits and all that. That's so important. So fact number 4. Next we have the stars. When we ask what do stars do, we then discover that the stars have an annual pattern. And thus common sense would dictate that the stars are the mechanisms related to determining a year. Like the moon is dependent on the sun to determine the days that consist in the lunar cycle of the month, the stars are dependent upon the sun and the moon to determine not only the days and months that consist in a year, but also dictate the arrival of the first day and month of the year. The first of the month is what contains the moon marker of the lunar conjunction. Likewise, the first month of the year is what contains the spring equinox marker of the sun. So that's important, very important. Because what's used by most people is what? What's the other one used by most people? Does anybody know? So I have the spring equinox. Then we have the what one? The vernal equinox. That one's used. So there's two of them that are commonly used. One's correct. The other one's incorrect. It's off by days. And that's why the whole Sabbath system gets completely out of whack. And so keep that in mind. So the spring equinox marks the sun. That marker is chosen because it best fits the pattern offered in creation. Now, both of them have a system, and they appear, but if you're going to pick one, you can't use both of them. Right? You got to pick one of them. And so that one fits the off what's spoken of creation. Number 5, and this is it. This is our last slide. Fact 5, the Sabbath is also evidence in Genesis chapter 1. We see that the pattern is 6 days and nights. The seventh is the Sabbath. So we have evening and morning, first day, evening and morning, second. Same thing I talked to you a while ago. Then the seventh day is a Sabbath. Not every seventh day is a Sabbath, every time. It doesn't change. All right? And so that's a whole different study, and a whole takes some time. So I had a few questions. People asked me, well, what about Sabbath day? We can't get it all done at one time. It's going to take some time. Because I can tell you, there's a big controversy on Sabbath keeping. Big. It gets heavily debated and argued about. Like, really argued about. So, that's so far, part one. We got 2 more parts. Then we got Sabbath, and we got first fruits to deal with Creator's calendar. It really has all that to it. So, hopefully I can do first fruits. So I'll skip around to get us ready for first fruits. I'm going to talk about some of it. Can't cover it all, but we'll cover the main parts about first fruit, because I know everybody's been thinking about that. That's coming up. First fruits. Just a quick on the first fruits. That represents his resurrection. Okay? That represents the resurrection. He's the first. And so we'll be talking about that. But I appreciate your time. I appreciate everybody for coming. And again, this is Bible study on Thursday. Just us come. We learn together. You take this information, go home. I'm asking you, please look at it. Bring it back to me. Maybe I could have misspoke something. I could have put something out of order. I could be misunderstanding something. But look at it. You look at it and come back and let's look at it together, because I definitely want to learn. I want to learn this and understand it. It's helping me understand my own relationship to the Lord, and I hope it's helping you, that God didn't just like create man, drop him off on the planet and say, hey, good luck. I mean, he went through great details to keep us in line with him. We can know. Somebody said, well, I don't know what to do. I'm waiting on the Lord to speak to me. He speaks to you every day. Every time the sun comes up and goes down, he's speaking to you. Every time the moon cycle happens, he's speaking to you. Every time we have a new year, he's speaking. And that's what happens. We want some audible voice to kind of give us directions, and we won't follow the directions he started from the beginning. And that's how you get off in error. And can I say this to be a truth, and who would agree with it? Because we was waiting on a voice from God. We never followed the pattern of God, and we got off in error. But we've repented from that, and now we want to be in timing with God. So when somebody gives you a little flack about you keeping unleavened bread and say, what, y'all Jewish? You need to stand upon the word of God. You say, it's a simple answer. No, I'm not Jewish. The Jews is most of the ones that keep this, but all believers should keep this. This is the Lord's feast. That's a simple answer. You don't have to explain it in a way that somehow you got to defend God because God might be doing something wrong. You don't need to defend God. He's God. But that's a simple answer. There's no argument there. You just tell him. You know, it's just like the mezuzah. You know, people say, you don't keep no mezuzah. Only the Jews don't. They're the only ones that were doing it. But if you look at the word of God, if you see it, the word of God, you'll see that the post. How many know what the word for post is? The word for post. Put the blood on. How many know what that word is? Mezuzah. That's the word for post. It's the mezuzah. Who was hung on a post? I'm just asking questions. Yes. Yes. How many ever seen somebody do this? They believe that if they take their little thing around their neck and they kiss it. What are they usually doing? What are they kissing? The cross, right? They have a lot of respect for that. Do you know that the blood was applied to the mezuzah? So we have the mezuzah as reminders of the threshold covenant, and that's why the Jews, those practicing, not just Jews only, most all Jews practice that, but the Jews, the Messianic Jews, those who believe in the Messiah, man, they practice it to the fullest. They keep these feasts and they'll touch the mezuzah and remember, God, I thank you. Your blood was applied, and it's applied to my home, it's applied to my life, everything I do. So listen, sometimes we need reminders. Why would he give us this? It's all reminders. Yet we think, I don't want to get caught up in what? What do you get? This is bad to remember Christ dying for you every time you go in and out your house? You think that's bad? Like that's going to get you to drink the Kool-Aid or something? It's crazy. That's how we think. We think, I don't want to get off in no unbelief. We've been in unbelief. Yeah, we've been off in the crazy stuff. We trying to get it back in the road. So don't let anybody do that to you. So if you don't have one, you need to get you one. Get you one. I don't demand it, but you need reminders. I need reminders. And you put it there. And remember, I'm going out. I'm going and coming. Going and coming. Going and coming. How many know that that's important to have something like that? So I think I passed some around and showed them to you, but that'll be a big help to you. How many believe in Jesus' creed? How many know there's a lot of creeds? How many believe Jesus' creed ought to be the one we follow? The creed of Jesus. Because creeds are statements that somebody that you believe that's a teacher or a rabbi to you that you follow. You want to follow Jesus' creed. You know what his creed was? Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. And that's what's in the mezuzah. It's rolled up in the tiny scroll in Hebrew. It's put in the mezuzah. And there it is. That's important. So I appreciate you and I thank God for you. And let's pray for one another. As I continue to study the Word of God, you continue to do it. And is there any questions, anything that we can look at together, I'd be glad to do that. Continue in your unleavened bread. It's simple. There's so many easy ways to make unleavened bread. I know people was asking. We've been getting some text messages and calls, and people were wondering. It's so easy. You look on the back of the box. If it don't have yeast in it, you can use it. Say, but it got baking soda in it. That's not yeast. That is not a living organism. Remember, I gave you all the details on that, and it's very important to remember he means that it's a living organism. It's something that can leave from one side of the lump on its own and go to the other side. You put baking soda right here, it ain't going over there. Just remember that. So don't get caught up in the, I can't have anything. So you could get bunches of flour has no yeast in it. You can mix some water in it. Very easy. Put it in there, make you some shortbread, and you're good to go. Very easy. Most of you make, a lot of you already made unleavened bread. You just didn't call it that. But you should be having unleavened bread for 7 days. Somebody said, well, I just won't eat bread. That's not what, listen, it's unleavened bread. It's called a feast. You eat it. You're supposed to eat it. You're supposed to have a lot of unleavened bread because it's a reminder to you and I for 1 week, we remove the leaven out of our life. We get rid of pride. And so to not eat it is to not deal with it. That's the same line, and you don't want to get in that practice. Get you some. Don't listen. It's not hard to do. Not hard at all. Some of you can get it in a box and pour it in there with water. How many? You can buy flour and you can get water. It's easy. Stir it in there and put it in there. Fry it. It comes out. It looks pretty flat and a little dense, but it's good. Right? Put some butter on it. Amen. Some jam. So. Anyway, there's nothing difficult about it, but hopefully you'll understand that, okay? All right, I love you. I thank God for you. Let's remember service. We have First Fruits coming up. It's all on the announcements in there. The only thing I didn't have is the time. I don't think I put the time. First Fruit is going to be at 6:30, okay? Yep.